want you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 as we make our way through this book together. That is 1 Peter chapter 2. We will be looking in a moment together at verses 4 through 8. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. We would all admit that oftentimes people do not like change. I read of a man who was told by his doctor that he was to stop eating red meat. So the next time that gentleman was at a restaurant, he was in a dilemma. And so he thought he should follow his doctor's orders, and so he did not put the ketchup on his burger. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we'd admit that we do not like change. But yet change happens all around us. Sometimes the change can be good. Sometimes the change can be quite dangerous. There are some things we know as believers that should not change. We know that morality should not and does not change. God's righteous standard does not change. Just because it's legal doesn't make it right. What God has said in His Word is the truth. We have the great truths of the faith, prayer, salvation, the Word of God. These things do not change. Although the world around us does, these do not. But the world and the devil, they're very subtle. And although they would not out and out say that they are trying to change our opinions, how they do so is quite subtle. You know, you can drift without knowing it. I know that a few times I've been out on the water, on a boat or some sort of craft. And even though I didn't notice it, I was further from the shore than I thought I was because I had drifted. If we are not careful, we can get swept away by the tides of our times and all of a sudden find ourselves further from the shore than we ever thought we would be. Now, there's something you should know about myself, and that is that I hate flying. And one time, I had the brilliant idea that I actually would like to fly again. And it wasn't too long of a time after that that Joe Rapetsky called me, and he said, "I have an opportunity to go up in a plane to see the city of Regina. Would you like to join me?" I thought, well, I said I wanted to, so I did go. And when I got there, I was absolutely shocked to find that this aircraft was hardly larger than my van. And we crammed ourselves in, and Joe Rapetsky says, "Why don't you go to the front? I'll sit at the back. I've done this before." And we took off. And when we were up in the air, the pilot said, "Do you want to fly the plane?" And in front of me was a set of controls. So I thought, all right, I'm conquering all my fears in one time. And so I took those controls. And would you believe it? I thought I knew what was happening. I thought I was staying a level course. But he told me, "You have dropped hundreds of feet." And sure enough, when I looked at the dial, the instruments, I had dropped without knowing it. You see, we get disoriented, and this happens in our Christian life. When we think we're going up, we're actually going down. And Peter gives us some words in this chapter that we're going to read that is going to help keep our feet firmly planted so that we do not change as we ought not to change. As I said, some change is good, but some change is quite dangerous, and we need to keep our feet on the rock. I'm so grateful for the songs that we've sung, declaring that Jesus is our rock. And I want to talk this morning on Jesus, the rock of ages. He does not change. Although our world around us changes, He does not. It was the year AD 64. And Nero, that wicked emperor of Rome, was ruling the empire. And there was a fire that was started in that city of Rome, that great city of Rome. And I believe, as I read, there was two-thirds of the city that burned. People believe that it was that wicked Nero who started that fire. Shortly after that fire, he was looking for someone to blame, as historians have said, And so he turned his attention to the Christians and blamed them for the fire. It was on the eve of that great persecution that Peter records these words to these believers. This book is probably written around AD 63, just before all of that happened. And it was no accident that by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he recorded these words for us that can help us have a sure word in an uncertain day. And so let's look together in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, they stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they were also appointed." I want to look at three things this morning. I want us to see how Jesus is the stone who is revealed by the Bible. And then I want us to see how Jesus is the stone who was rejected by the builders. And the last thing I want us to see how Jesus is the stone of redemption for the believer. Those three things we are going to hang our hat on this morning. The first is that Jesus is the stone revealed in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Coming to him as to a living stone." So many are busy building their lives on faulty foundations, but Peter urges the Christians, the believers, to come to Jesus, who is a rock, a living stone. You know, if you build on a faulty foundation, that building on that foundation will eventually come crashing down. Peter was wise enough, however, not to point those Christians to himself, but to Jesus, who is the rock of ages. Some people get this backwards because they believe that Peter was the rock on which the church was built. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, we have these words that Jesus said, "And you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now, sometimes we associate rock with Peter because the name Peter means a stone. But I want you to see that Jesus actually uses two different words. See, Peter is Petros, a Greek word which means a small stone, movable, loose. So Jesus said, "You are Peter, you are a small stone, and on this rock, Petra." Different than Petros, Petra is an immovable mass. You see, you are Peter, you are a small stone, but on this rock, the unmovable mass, the Lord God, Jesus Christ, I will build my church. The apostle said this, "There is no foundation that anyone can lay that has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation for our lives." And I believe that Peter understood how important it was that he told these believers he was not the rock, because Jesus is the rock. You see, within a few short years, Peter would die a martyr's death. So would Paul. These pillars of the Christian faith. You can only imagine how this would have rocked the Christian community. Their beloved leaders who taught them the Word of God, who walked with the living Word of God, were now dead. How would they continue on? It was by planting their feet firmly on Jesus, the rock of ages. But you see, Jesus is revealed all the way through Scripture as this rock. This was not something new. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 12, Jacob gives a prophecy to his 12 sons. And about Joseph, he says this, "But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob." And then the word of God includes this line, "From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." See, all the way from the very beginning, this stone was beginning to be revealed. Not only was he the stone in Jacob's prophecy, but we see him in the rock in the wilderness. Moses had led the people of Israel into the wilderness, and they began to be thirsty. And they cried out to Moses. They contended with him, the Bible says. They were thirsty. They wanted water. And so God said to Moses that he was to go before the rock. And this is what it says in Exodus chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that people may drink.'" You see, when you read the Bible, you see Jesus. And you say, well, how do we see Jesus in this passage? You see, the Bible gives us little hints and pictures all over through it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Paul says these words, "And all drank," speaking of the Israelites, "from the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." He's your stability. He is your sufficiency. Revealed in the Old Testament. Jesus is not just any rock. He is the rock of ages. And those are just a few of the verses of many speaking of Jesus as the rock. Peter's saying to these believers, he's saying, do not look at me. Look at Jesus. He is the rock of ages. Not only the rock revealed in the Bible, but the rock rejected by the builders. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." The builders rejected. This verse is mentioned all the way through the Bible. Psalm 118, verse 22. It says the same thing. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." What's he speaking of here? He's speaking about the rejection of Jesus Christ by those who should have known better. The word rejected actually has the idea that they disapproved of him after a period of testing. The stone the builders rejected pictures for us builders who were evaluating all the stones for a building, and upon coming to one stone, after evaluating it, they cast it off. They rejected it. And this is what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ, that when he came to this earth, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He had no honor in his own country. He was evaluated, and they disapproved of him, and they cast him off. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Not only was he disapproved of, but he was just straight up denied. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. We will read again these same words. But these words now come not from the Apostle Peter, but from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as he gives a parable that helps us understand the meaning of this verse. Luke chapter 20, and let's look together at verses 9 and following. It says this, "Then he began to tell the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, leased it to a vine dresser, and went into a far country for a long time. Now at vintage time," that means the right season, "he sent a servant to the vine dressers that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him." But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance may be ours." And so they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyards to others. And when they heard it, they said, "Certainly not." Then he, Jesus, looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." And the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the people, for they knew he had spoken this parable against them. Jesus, as he speaks this parable, he's saying, "I am the one who is sent, and you have rejected me. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." And just a few moments later, they would deny him. They would mock him. They would spit on him. He was despised and rejected by men. You know, the world continues to reject Jesus. The world has no room for Jesus in our country. They have no room for him in our governments, in our schools, in our homes. Just read a story this last week. The city of Tiga K was given a police monument to set up in memory of some policemen who lost their lives. And on it, it had a policeman's prayer and a scripture reference. The stone was set up in front of the police station, but there was quite an objection to the stone because it said the name Lord on it three times, and it had the Bible verse on the bottom. And so the city, trying to appease those whom the stone offended, they painted over the word Lord, and then the other name Lord, and the third time Lord. It was in three occasions. And then they painted over the Bible verse. Well, then there was some who were offended by that. The city ultimately decided, "We will just remove the stone entirely." And so they cast it aside. But then they received some feedback from that. And then they decided they will set it up again. And they have set it up again. And the prayer contains the whole thing, but they have left the Bible verse off that stone. You see, the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And our world has no room for Jesus. It has never had room for him. But you see, he is the answer to our world's deepest needs. You see, Jesus is not only just the stone revealed in the Bible, not only is he the stone rejected by the builders, but the third thing is that this, Jesus is the stone of redemption for the believer. Turn back, if you will, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 6, it says, "Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.'" Oh, how can we be so grateful for the stone whom we can believe and never be put to shame? He is a sure foundation. The Bible says he is that cornerstone. You know, the cornerstone was the stone in the structure of the building that held all the walls and building in place. It was the strongest stone. It was the stone of stability. And Jesus came to this earth to save us from our sins, that he might, by his own life, give us a foundation to stand on. So that although we live in a very uncertain world, we can be a very strong people because we are standing on the rock of ages. You will never find what your soul longs for until you find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. So often, our sin leads to shame, doesn't it? One could say every single time, our sin leads to shame. We do something, we disobey the word of God. And we feel remorse and guilt over what we've done. And I am not immune to this, and you are not immune to this. But I want to tell you this morning that there is no sin too great that God would not forgive. His grace is greater. There was a man named John Newton who wrote this song entitled Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Once blind, but now I see. His epitaph reads this: John Newton Clark. Once an infidel and a libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. You see, John Newton was a man who was in complete opposition to Jesus Christ. And yet God so graciously rescued him from his sin. And he penned those words, which are words that you and I can understand, that Jesus saved a wretch like me. He understood those words because he understood the incredible grace of God to forgive him for his sins. Not only is there no sin too great that God can't forgive, there's no problem too big for Jesus to solve. You say, I can't? He said, I never said you could. He can. He always said he would. You see, Jesus will come through for you. He is that sure foundation. God is a miracle working God. There's no problem too big for him to solve, and there's no addiction too strong for Jesus to break. There's no pain too deep for him to heal. There's no regret too great that he would not erase. You say, I look at my past and all I see is shame. Jesus will take that very sin and bury it in the depths of the sea, and he will remember it no more. You are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Oh, praise God for the redemption we have in Jesus. You see, our lives should be marked with joy, not guilt, not remorse, not regret. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, it is joy, it is peace, it is patience, it is kindness, it is goodness, it is faithfulness, it is gentleness, it is self-control. And when we surrender ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we plant our feet firmly on the rock, he fills us with his Spirit, and we are a people of joy. He puts a new song in our mouth to sing. Oh, how we can be so grateful for the redemptive stone. I remember that I was just a little boy at 5 years old, and I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has never failed me yet. Oh, I may have failed him. There may have been times that I have stepped my feet off the stone, the rock of ages, and I have fallen. But he has always picked me up. And he has carried me, if need be, to himself. And I am completely safe because I am safe in the arms of Jesus. And you are safe in his hands as well. Oh, I do pray that you would choose to give your heart to Jesus. And if you have wandered away from him, that you would say, Lord, just carry me back. Carry me back to the place that I first knew when I knew you. for the first time. For it is on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Tuck this verse away as a treasure. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Oh, praise God. There was a phone call that our office received. And I was in my office, and our secretary was in, and I was sitting in my office, and she pages the number over, and she says, I want you to know that Charles Billingsley is on the line. Now, you will have to know this, that what makes me tick is good music. I just love good singers, good music. And one of my favorite singers is a man named Charles Billingsley. He is a worship leader down at the Thomas Road Baptist Church. And I even traveled all across the United States to go hear him sing personally. And it was wonderful. Well, all of a sudden, when I hear that Charles Billingsley is on the phone, my heartbeat became the pace of a rabbit's. And I collected myself, and I picked up the phone, and I said, hello? And he said, hello, I am the booking agent for Charles Billingsley. Oh, what a letdown. So, I heard him and what he was calling me about, and I had to tell him. I said, I have to say this, that I'm glad to talk to you, but I'm actually disappointed to hear from you because my secretary said that Charles Billingsley was on the phone and you are not him. Well, he says, well, maybe I can arrange for you to talk to him. So he got my number and he said, I will see if Charles can give you a call later. And I mean, think of your hero, right? You're like, your hero. Well, this was him to me. I have to tell you, that there was not a moment that I would let my phone out of my sight. I was waiting for that phone call. I want you to understand this, that Jesus is waiting for you to call him. With even greater anticipation than I was waiting for Charles to call me, he is waiting for you to call him. What do you think it does to the heart of God when he sees his own people floundering and in despair and in discouragement, and he is just saying, call to me and I will answer you. I will show you great and wonderful things. Oh, he is a loving God who is just waiting for you to come to him. He is the rock of ages. He does not change. Our world will change, but he does not change. And when we stand on him, he is our firm foundation. I want to invite the worship team to come. But I want to ask you this question. Is Jesus the cornerstone of your life? Or is he just a stone in your life? Oh, would you make him the cornerstone? Would you build your life on Jesus? He is the rock of your salvation. But I also want to ask this question. Do you need to be saved this morning? Do you know Jesus? Has he forgiven you of your sins? He is waiting for you to call him. Let's pray together. Oh God, I do pray that each one of us here would recognize the great love that you have for us. That since all the way from the very beginning of time, you knew that Jesus was going to come and he was going to be the stone that the builders rejected. But that those who believe, we would never be put to shame. And so, oh God, would you help us to build our lives on the rock? Because you are such a great God. You are so able to carry all of our burdens and our concerns. And so we simply look to you, oh Jesus, and ask you to help us. We thank you. We pray this all in Jesus' name.